And Father, we thank you for those words to our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua. So I'll reiterate the teaching tonight, the unintended consequences from disobedience. And so if we ever realize the full ramification of disobedience, we probably never would have done it. So most people, when you look back on things, you said, I made a really big mistake. And so we're going to look at examples of this. And the word is full of it. And Genesis 3:16, with Adam and Eve, unintended consequences. When they disobeyed our Father, so most of these stories, everybody knows the story, so we don't have to go to the beginning. We'll just go to the consequences. 3:16, this is Eve, for all women. And to the woman he said, I will increase thy pain of pregnancy, and pain shall thou bear children, yea, and to thy husband shall be thy longing, though he rule over thee. That was a consequence. It was unintended by disobeying, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden for the man. Verse 17, and to the man he said, because thou did hearken to the voice of thy wife instead of me, and so did eat of the tree as which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Accursed be the ground for thy sake. Wow, that's a bad consequence. And he's going to live 900 years.
Finish the verse.
In pain shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it shoot forth to thee when thou hast come to eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread until thou return to the ground, because therefrom wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and to dust shall thou return. Very great truth.
Very great, big, bad thing.
Yes, and that was the consequences. And it looked like a minor situation to eat the truth that's going to make you live forever. And on the contrary, instead of living forever, you're going to be returned to the dust. How about Cain murdering Abel, his brother? The consequences. Genesis 4:11-12. You want to read that, Aaron?
Now therefore, accursed art thou from the ground which hath opened her mouth to receive the shed blood of thy brother at thy hand. Though thou till the ground, it shall not go on to give its vigor to thee. A wanderer and a fugitive shall thou be in the earth.
Look at 13. Cain said unto Yahweh, greater is my punishment than I can bear. Hey, you should have thought of that before you had murdered your brother.
Yeah.
I mean, really, unintended consequences. Now, he was an evil person. But we're going to basically be talking about good people. So the Satan, the consequence is he could care less. I think a lot of these people, they don't want to pay for him, but they're not going to bow to Yahweh. And so that's it. Exodus, we go back to Aharon, Exodus 32. Unintended consequences. And so we have to look in our lives. Why does Yahweh mention all this? To teach us from other people's mistakes. 21. And let's see, the 24. And Moses said unto Aharon, what have this people done to thee that thou shouldest have brought upon them a great sin? It's just a little calf I made. And Aharon said, let not the anger of my Lord kindle. Thou thyself knowest that the people that ready for mischief they are. So they said unto me, make for us gods who shall go before us. And as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know what has befallen him. And I said to them, whosoever hath gold, let him break it off. You should have said, I say to them is, absolutely not. So they gave it to me, and I cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf.
Magic.
I love that. 28. So the sons of Levi, the unintended consequences continue. And so the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell among the people on that day about how much?
3,000
men were put to death because of Aharon's calf, by listening to the people. 3,000 people died because of that calf. 35. And Yahweh plagued the people for what they had done with the calf Aharon made. Big unintended consequences. Death. We go into Miriam, which is Numbers chapter 12. And we know Miriam and Aharon. Verse 1. And Miriam and Aharon spoke against Moses on account of the Cushite woman whom he had taken for a Cushite woman. Had he taken? And they said, is it only and solely with Moses that Yahweh has spoken? With us also hath he not spoken? And Yahweh heard it. I just love that. The consequence. The lesson here. 9. Same chapter. And the anger of Yahweh kindled upon them, and he departed. And whenever you see the word anger, think of anger and fire. The word kindle is related to fire. And so Yahweh's anger is fire. Sodom, Gomorrah, and it was going to happen in the last days. And the anger of Yahweh kindled upon them, and he departed. And when the cloud removed from off the tent, lo, Miriam leopardess like snow. Unintended consequences by speaking against, not against Moses, against Yahweh. What you actually did is, if this person's Yahweh's representative, don't speak against that person. Now we go to the Israelites. And this is after 40 years being in the wilderness with the daughters of Moab. Numbers 25. Verses 1-3. Now this is after being fed by Yahweh for 40 years and having a cloud over your head every day and night and seeing a fire over the temple, Yahweh's presence every day and every night. When the cloud would rise up, you would follow it. And now this is going to happen. And the Israelites remained among the Acadians, and the people began to go away unchastely unto the daughters of Moab, who invited the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. So the people did eat, and did bow themselves down unto their gods. Then Israel let himself be bound unto Baal Peor, and the anger of Yahweh kindled, or fired, upon Israel. The unintended consequences in verse 9. Then was it found that they who had died by the plague were 24,000. So 24,000 people die because of disobeying Yahweh. We go to David, 2 Samuel.
The chapter?
Chapter 12. 13 and 14. As we know, there's no way that David and Bathsheba intended for this to happen. The consequences of their sin. You know, obviously we know that... I forgot his name.
Nathan?
Yeah, not Nathan. No.
Uriah,
the Hittite, was murdered. You know, people with him were murdered. His family was because of their sin. Their families were deprived of their sons and their grandsons or their husbands and wives. A lot of people were murdered. And we see here...
On purpose by David.
Well, but it was unintended. It was supposed to be a sexual fling that got out of control. So, you know, I just read something about STDs now. You know, with the Democrat Party who wanted to liberate sexuality, all right, there's a huge increase in what they call STDs right now in the United States. Sexually transmitted disease, syphilis, gonorrhea. Did anybody ever want syphilis? Was anybody going to say, this little particular affair, you know, call it an affair, I'm going to have sexual intercourse with this person who has had sexual intercourse with 200 different people, who has diseases? Well, they didn't tell me they had a disease. And now I've got the disease. Oh, that's lovely. For how long? Oh, the rest of my life. Was that 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes worth the rest of your life? Unintended consequences. And David, now chapter 12, verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against Yahweh. And what's the unintended consequence? Pregnancy. Ah, we didn't intend that at all. And then said Nathan unto David, Yahweh also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Nevertheless, because thou hast greatly blasphemed Yahweh by this thing, the very son that is born to thee shall what?
Die.
So this flame that you have turn into a pregnancy, turn into a murder, multiple murders, turn into the death of the child, turn into really a divorce of the wife, you know, or become a widow. The wife becomes a widow.
She wasn't divorced.
Yeah, this is not divorce, but the separation, none of this was planned. If you had any idea this was going to happen, neither one of them would ever have done it. And so this is our lesson is, think.
Yeah, she should obey Yahweh.
Yeah, obey Yahweh. Now we go to Solomon, 1 Kings 11, and we know about his many wives. And against what Yahweh says, chapter 11.
1 Kings 11.
We just go to 33, and you think, well, I can control these women. It's a good decision. Yahweh says, don't marry the unbeliever. Don't, you know, you're only going to be married to Hebrews, or which is really Ibri. Hebrew is not the correct name. That's the Greek name of Ibri. I-B-R-I. But no, I think I can pull this off. I can control this.
I can convert them. Yeah. I'll convert them. That's what it is.
Yeah, it could be. And 33 and 35. Let's see. Because they have forsaken me and bowed themselves down to Asherah. Now, this is speaking to Solomon and the people around him now. His followers, read all of 11, he'll tell you, but all his followers, as the servants of the king are also now are given permission to go after other gods also because the king has done it. So if a pastor can fornicate and the members realize that he's fornicating and he's justified, then guess what? Everybody else can fornicate. The leader is now sending messages. 33-35, because they have forsaken me and bowed themselves down to Asheroth, goddess of the Zidonians, to Chemosh, god of Moabites, and to Milcom, god of the sons of Ammon, and have not walked in my way by doing what is right in mine eyes, even my statutes, my regulations, like David his father. Yet will I not take all the kingdom out of his hand, but will suffer him to be leader all the days of his life for the sake of David, my servant whom I've chosen, who kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of the hand of his son and will give it to thee, even unto the 10 tribes. And that is to Jeroboam. So he lost the kingdom. Solomon didn't know those consequences were going to happen. And I split. And here's just another illustration. Let's go to Deuteronomy on a warning. Deuteronomy 28.
And then he decides to kill his son, Jeroboam. What book?
Deuteronomy 28.
Right and left.
And Yahweh's warning me, if you turn away, here's the consequences. And who would like to read 49 to 57?
I will.
Okay.
Yahweh will bring against thee a nation from afar, from the end of the earth, as darted a bird of prey. A nation whose tongue thou canst understand, a nation of fierce countenance, who will not respect an elder, nor the young show favor. Then shall he eat thy young of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground until thou art destroyed, who will not leave for thee corn. New wine or oil, young of thy kind, or the ewes of the flock, until he has caused thee to perish. And he shall lay siege to thee in all thy gates until thy high and fortified walls come down, wherewith thou wast trusting in all thy land. Yea, he will lay siege to thee in all thy gates in all thy land, which Yahweh thy Elohim hath given unto thee.
Stop for a minute. Hey, when he was reading this, where were they? They're out in the wilderness. There's no high walls. There's no big gates.
Wow.
There's none of that. You've been living in tents. I carry on 53.
And thou wilt eat the fruit of thy body, the flesh of thy sons and thy daughters.
And we're going to see that. If this comes to pass. Go ahead.
Whom Yahweh thy Elohim hath given unto thee in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemy will straighten thee. The man that is tender among you and exceedingly delicate, his eyes will be jealous of his brother and of the wife of his bosom and of the remnant of his sons, whom he might leave behind, so that he will not give to any one of them of the flesh of his sons, which he will eat, because he hath nothing at all left him in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemy will straiten thee within all thy gates. The tender and the delicate woman among you, who hath never adventured the sole of her foot to set it upon the ground through delicateness and through tenderness, her eyes shall be jealous of the husband of her bosom, and of her own son, and of her own daughter, both as to her afterbirth that cometh forth from between her feet, and as to her children which she shall bear, for she will eat them for want of all things, secretly in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemy will straiten thee within thine own gates.
Yikes.
We're going to see that happen in 2 Kings 6.
In what?
Warning, 2 Kings chapter 6. So these are all so to us. You know, you just 24 to 30. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered together all his hosts and came up and laid siege against Samaria. And there came to be a great famine in Samaria. And lo, they continued the siege against it, until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver and one pint of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And so it was, as the king of Israel was passing by the wall, that a woman made outcry unto him, saying, Save my lord, O king. He said, If Yahweh do not save thee, whence should I save thee? Out of the threshing floor, or out of the winepress? And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she said, This woman said unto me, Give thy son that we may eat him today, and my son will we eat tomorrow. And we know the rest of the story. Let's say, ate the one son, and the other woman hit her son. And so, what Yahweh, you know, forecasted and said, if you obey me, you're going to get this. If you disobey me, these are the ramifications. And that actually came to pass.
And it's not that he does that.
No, no.
These are ramifications.
Unintended consequences of disobedience.
Is that what you say?
And sometimes they are not, they're all life changing. Sometimes they are taken away of life. I mean, to the fullest end. Go to Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 18. We think we can, you know, fudge things. In this particular case, I know it's a sin. Yahweh says don't do it, but I think in this case I can do this because I'm in control. 2 Chronicles 18, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jehoshaphat had riches and honors in abundance that he contracted by marriage affinity with Ahab. And it's really Ox-Ab. which is a wicked king, and who had he married? Jezebel. And so what you're doing is you're bringing in Jehoshaphat, a good king, is bringing in demonic forces to his son. And the unintended consequences is, by that result, you kill all of your sons except for one. You murdered all your sons, and you murdered all your grandchildren too. Did he have any idea that was the consequences? But that was the consequences. So we go to 21:4. No, wait a minute. No, that, yeah. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. 21:4. I'm at, still at 18.
Chapter 21?
Yeah, 21:4. And this is Jehoram, who made king, who married Athaliah, who was of the seed of Jezebel and Ahab. Ahab is really pronounced Ahab, and that's Ahab. Brother.
Ahab?
A-X.
Oh.
Ox, which is brother. Ab is father. Brother, father. That's what the name means. 21:4. But when Jehoram had arisen over the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and did what? Slew all his brethren with his sword. Moreover, also some of the rulers of Israel. Who do you think gave him that idea? Athaliah. And obviously he should have never put this son in charge. 22:10. And we're going to see after he dies and his son dies, Athaliah goes into force, and that's in verse 10. And when Athaliah, mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose up and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. So she killed all the grandchildren of Jehoshaphat.
The line of Yahushua.
So you're looking at the consequences, the unintended consequences. Jehoshaphat was a good king. But he did things, he fudged what Yahweh said don't do, just like Solomon fudged, don't marry foreign women. Jehoshaphat, foreign women and kings, that was a consequence. Now we go to Zedekiah, let's go to Jeremiah 38, Isaiah Jeremiah 38, 14. And most of us have deceived ourselves that we can get away with it just one time. And sometimes the consequences could be devastating. Ruin your family, ruin your health, ruin somebody else's health.
38, Mom.
38?
Yeah. Jeremiah 38:14-23. And would somebody read that?
Read now?
Yeah.
Read as far as you can, then you can stop. And this is Zedekiah, which is, so to give you the context, Israel, the 10 tribes, had fallen about 150 years ago, and the last king of Judah, or Judah, is Zedekiah. They are being surrounded by Nebuchadnezzar, because Zedekiah and others are rebelling against Nebuchadnezzar. So Jeremiah is trying to talk sense into Zedekiah. And so that's what our context. 14.
Then King Zedekiah sent and fetched Jeremiah the prophet unto him in the third entrance, which is in the house of Yahweh. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I am going to ask thee a thing. Do not hide anything from me. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, when I tell thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And when I counsel thee, thou wilt not hearken unto me. So King Zedekiah sware unto Jeremiah secretly, saying, by the life of Yahweh, who made us this nephesh, I will no wise put thee to death, neither will I deliver thee into the hand of these men who are seeking thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith Yahweh, God of hosts, God of Israel, if thou wilt indeed go forth unto the princes of the king of Babylon, then shalt thine own soul live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, but thou shalt live, thou and thy house.
Now remember that as a promise. Keep going.
But if thou wilt not go forth unto the princes of the king of Babylon, then shall the city be delivered into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with their fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. Then said King Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews who have fallen away unto the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they maltreat me.
So that was his motivation. All right, but watch the response.
But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver. Hearken, I pray thee, unto the voice of Yahweh in what I am speaking unto thee, that it may be well with thee and thy soul live. But if thou art refusing to go forth, this is the thing which Yahweh hath showed me. Behold then all the women that are left in the house of the king of Judah, brought forth unto the princes of the king of Babylon, and those very women saying, the men thou wast wont to salute have goaded thee on and prevailed upon thee. Thy foot having sunk into the mire, they have turned away back.
One more.
Yea, thou shalt behold all thy wives and thy children brought forth unto the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. But by the hand of the king of Babylon shalt thou be taken, and this city shall be burned with fire.
Okay, great warning. So Yahweh warns us throughout his word, and he gives us examples of people who did not heed those warnings and the consequences, and Zedekiah is one of them. So now we go to 39, verse 4 through 8. And so, and it came to pass, as soon as Zedekiah, king of Judah, and all the men of war saw them, so they broke in, the siege, the Chaldeans, as Nebuchadnezzar, and they fled and went forth by night out of the city by way of the king's garden, through the gate between the two walls, and he went forth by way of the waste plains. But the force of the Chaldeans pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the waste plains of Jericho. And when he had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah, in the land of Hamath, and pronounced upon him sentence of judgment. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah. Here's his consequences. Slew the sons of Zedekiah and Riblah before his eyes. So this is the last thing he's going to see. And all the nobles of Judah did the king of Babylon slay, and the eyes of Zedekiah did he put out, and bound him with fetters of bronze to bring him unto Babylon. Unintended consequences. All your sons dead, the nobles are dead, and now you are still alive, and you're blind for the rest of your life. And the last thing you remember is that, the burn into your heel. Now we go to Judas, apostle, Matthew 27. Did he have any idea of what he did? No. It was not supposed to go this way. 27:3. It's very important to receive counsel when you're not clear upon the word. Taking time to listen to Father, to listen to other people. And if you're not susceptible to doctrine, reproof, and correction, you're going to have a lot of problems. Very simply. If you're not meek to this word, if Yahweh says, I wish you all to speak in tongues, then that's Yahweh's will. You speak in tongues. And if you say, no, I'm not going to, there's unintended consequences. So anything that when he says, don't eat with fornicators and all these people, and you do, there's unintended consequences. You have no idea I got away with it. Nothing happened at this particular time or this particular time. And we just had an experience of that, homosexuals, infiltrating and being accepted in the Christian communities where they say, hate the sin but love the sinner. And you go eat with these fornicators, these evil men, you are breaking the commandment of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Unintended consequences, divorce done by the courts instead of the church, unintended consequences. That's a disobedience, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And so we started going, no, you don't go to the unbeliever. And on, there's unintended consequences that are affecting you and everybody else around you. And here is, you know, Judas, maybe he was envious, and I'm thinking of, why was envious? Because Peter, James, and John was always with Christ, and not us. Why were we left behind? And I thought even that with Andrew. Andrew brought Peter to see Yahushua, and Andrew's not part of the three. So the same kind of resentment, like Miriam and
Joseph. Joseph's delivered for envy, too.
Yeah, for, I mean, I think that was intentional.
Yeah.
Yahweh had it, because that's how he's going to deliver that. So I didn't really go into that. So I think sometimes there's other ways that have to be done. But here's Judas in verse 3, 27 verse 3. Then Judas, who had delivered him up, seeing that he was condemned. That wasn't supposed to happen. Christ wasn't supposed to be condemned. Let's just put a little fear into him. You know, and I guess another example was Gehazi with Elisha.
Yeah.
Thought he could do it, and the unintended consequences was he became what?
Leprous.
Leprous. For what? Some clothes and cash? You became leprous? Really? And so it's the same thing with sexual impurity. I got syphilis, you know, I've got gonorrhea, I've got AIDS for the rest of my life, or it kills me, and I transmitted it to my wife or my husband. You know, and so you're like, that was, you know, this, man, this guy could really go downhill fast. Being smitten with remorse, he's sorry what he did, returning the 30 pieces of silver unto the high priest and elders, saying, I have sinned in delivering up righteous blood. But they said, what is that to us? Thou shalt see it for thyself. And throwing a piece of silver into the temple, he withdrew, going away, hanged himself. Did he have any idea of the consequences, the unintended consequences of your jealousy or envying that ended up costing not only your master's life, it cost you your life? And he could have been married also. How about the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 20.
Chapter 1, sorry.
21, sorry. Acts chapter 21. And this was not for sin. He's trying to do something good. Verse 10. He's going to Jerusalem. And he's getting signals, don't go up to Jerusalem. Don't go up to Jerusalem. Now he's going to Jerusalem to save souls. And so this could be the intentions. He's not going up to fornicate.
Right.
He's not going up to rob somebody. He's not going up to overthrow Peter to become king of the apostles. He's going in there because he thinks, I can benefit people there. And so here's 10. And as we stayed on many days, there came down a certain man from Judea, a prophet by name Agabus. And coming up unto us and taking Paul's girdle, he bound his own feet and hands and said, thus saith the Holy Spirit, the man whose this girdle is shall the Jews thus bind in Jerusalem. Okay, how much simpler is this got to be here? Am I in Jerusalem? No. Is this a day late, a dollar short? No. Well, I'm not going to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And deliver up in the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, we and they of the place began beseeching him not to go up to Jerusalem. I mean, how much simpler can it be? And obviously we know he did. And the unintended consequences is chapter 24, verse 26. At the same time, also hoping that money would be given him by Paul, wherefore also the more frequently sending for him, he used to converse with him. And when, however, 2 years were completed, he's been in jail, probably in this palace, for 2 years now. The unintended consequence that you're in this jail for 2 years of your life, and ends up going on a nice boat ride. That was shipwrecked for, I think, two weeks at sea, and then you're getting bit by a viper on an island. But he, Yahweh, you know, and Christ saw him through it, but we've got to be sharp.
Right.
sometimes how much simpler can it be? You cannot, you say, well, I'm doing it for the Lord. The Lord's saying don't do it. Well, I'm doing it for the Lord. The Lord says don't do it.
You're not doing it for him if he told you not to do it.
Yeah, there's many people who have gone who, with great intentions, were not in the will of the Lord. And they died. And there are unintended consequences. Nobody was converted. And you're dead. And you're 20 years old.
Yeah.
Because you went to Africa when I didn't tell you to go to Africa. I was telling you, don't go to Africa. But I want to go to Africa to save souls. Okay. So back to obedience. And that is, we'll sum up in Deuteronomy 28. Real simple thing. Obedience. Obey, obey, obey. Check in. What a promise.
I'm sorry, where are we going?
28 Deuteronomy.
One other illustration was Ahab, Ahab. Should we go up to fight these guys? And Micaiah came up and said, no, you're going to die.
I told you you were going to say something like this.
That's 1 Kings 22:16. And then guess what happened to Ahab or Ahab? He died. If there are unintended consequences by not being obedient, didn't turn out well. And it's the same way with Adam and Eve and with Cain and everybody else. You think he can walk this line?
He died even though
he thought he was going to hide from Yahweh.
I'm going in disguise.
Yeah, I'm going in disguise.
And Yahweh can't kill me.
I'm getting rid of my king's robe. I'm off to the side. I have a, you know, a private uniform on. And all of a sudden an arrow goes, phew. Where did that come from? He's probably sitting on a latrine, going to the bathroom, behind bushes and trees, and all of a sudden something comes over the tree, and it's an inadvertent arrow that somebody shot up in the air, and all of a sudden it killed him. He's dead. How'd that go? Unintended consequences.
Game over, man.
28:1. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy God. That's what we're talking about. Intended consequences of what we want. Obedience, to observe to do all his commandments, which I am commanding thee today. All of them? Oh, all of them? Did he say speak in tongues? Yes. Did he say I want you to prophesy? Yes. Did he say I want you to interpret? Yes. He says do not hang out with fornicators? Yes. And so on and on and on. He says there's one God? Yes. There's not a Trinity. Which I am commanding thee today. Then, the payoff, then will Yahweh thy God set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come in upon thee and reach thee because thou dost hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy God. Wow, what the promise is.
All the blessings.
So we'll end there.
All the blessings right down to...
I mean, all is blessing by blessing. And if you do not hearken, it's curse upon curse upon curse. I mean, we've been warned. What can I say?
I have forgiveness.
Hey, hey, don't eat mercury.
Don't what?
Eat mercury.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Oh, I can do that because I got Christ in me.
But it looks cool.
And there's, I think, some Chinese emperor that was going to live forever, and he was feeding mercury. And so we go, hindsight, that was an unintended consequence. Instead of living forever, you got cancer and died prematurely. And so, you vote Democrat and you're going to get something. No, you're not. You're going to be enslaved and the blessings of Yahweh will be withheld from you. Well, they promised me something. Yes, it's a lie. All right, enough of that. And we'll go ahead and hear from our Heavenly Father according to 1 Corinthians 14. Be at peace and know I abide in peace. You are my sons and daughters in whom I've been treasured with my word. But you must meditate, you must communicate it, you must eat it daily or you will not know my will and avoid the consequences of sin and the results of sin. So put that word on daily into your mind, into your family's mind, that they also may draw the warnings and heed my messages. Because I desire for you a prosperous life. Amen. See you next week.
Thank you.